Are you ready to discover how to maximize your marriage, family, and life while growing your business? Well, welcome to Love Plus Money, the show where we show you how to succeed in business while thriving in family, health, and legacy. Hello, hello. It's me. It's Andrew. I'm on my own today. Janelle is traveling, so she's out in Colorado for a few weeks visiting family. So you guys get just me today, and so this will be my first ever podcast without Janelle. So let me know how you like that and if I do a good job or not. But anyway, we are going to focus today on how to get out of overwhelm. And that lasts because there's a lot of strategies out there of how somebody could get out of overwhelm, but not many of them stick around. It's just this short little blip. So I want to help you get out of overwhelm and then get you into sustainable growth. And that's going to take care of a lot of the burnout. So that's what I've been hearing a lot from my clients of late is I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just burnt out. And I'm hearing it again and again. So I thought I'd bring some of the solutions to you guys today so that you can move forward, have more fun, have more energy, and have more life. So how does that sound? So burnout, overwhelm, it's one of these things that a lot of times most people don't see it as a positive. But overwhelm is actually a really good thing to experience because what you'll find is people that are not doing a lot don't experience much overwhelm. And so overwhelm to me comes from people that are in action. And if you're in action, that's a good thing. That's a good thing because you're going to be progressing towards what you can do. But a few things. Overwhelm means congratulations. You've reached the ability to handle what you've created. So anytime you experienced overwhelm, you've created more life, more results, more things than you ever have before. And that's a good thing, but your strategies and your psychology of how to manage all of that has now peaked. Does that make sense? And if I put it down to nutrition, you might be eating really good and you're getting progression and then you hit a plateau. And something needs to change. Either your workouts need to change or your nutrition needs to change. But you can't keep on doing the same, expecting to go to another level. And that's the same with overwhelm. So you get there, you feel it, you get the emotion part of it, and then you're going to plateau. So your strategies, your psychology is taking you as far as you can go. And you can never grow higher than your ability to manage life. Yeah? So you're at your max of your ability. So we need something new. That's all. That's all. So overwhelm, congratulations. You've reached the next level. Time to upgrade your strategies, your psychology, or your systems. That's it. And if we see it as a bad thing, because this is what I'll hear so much from my clients as well. It's like, oh, I don't know if I'm on the right path because I feel something negative, whether it's doubt, whether it's fear, whether it's overwhelm, whether it's procrastination, whatever the feeling is, worth, I'm not enough. And that's the exact opposite of what I found to be true. I found most people who are not doing much don't experience the overwhelm, don't experience the doubt, don't experience the fear. They haven't got all the negative emotions because they're going home and they're opening a couple of beers and they're sitting and they're watching TV. They're not going to feel those feelings. And what I found is the people that are succeeding are going to feel more fear, more doubt, more overwhelm than the average person. So if that's you, congratulations, you're in the few that do rather than the majority that think about it. And what we got to do is we got to look at a positive meaning for these so-called negative emotions. Because if we see them as a wrong path, if we see that we're feeling these things, so we must be doing something wrong, we generally go out of action. And so if you have a positive belief around these things, like, hey, I'm on the right path because it's hard. And again, you tell me one successful athlete, one successful business person that hasn't experienced negative emotions on their journey. It's part and parcel of the process. And in fact, if you want to double your success, you're going to have to triple your failure. And if you've got a negative connotation of what failure is, that's going to take you out of action as well. And so I'm here to encourage you. You are on the right path. If you're listening to this, feeling any of these things, you're on the right path. And Usain Bolt, I don't know if he still is the world's fastest man, but at least he was when I heard this quote. And it said, it's not what you do when you're winning that defines if you're a champion. It's what you do when you're losing. And that's true. It's not, how's your psychology when you've had an incredible month and you're like, oh, this is amazing, I'm winning. That's not going to take you to the next level. You will have down months. Yeah, that's just inevitable. Sometimes it's nothing of what you're doing. Sometimes it's just the month. And even last month, I was working with a group of people and they're like, hey, it's just a really down month for us this month. What am I doing wrong? I was like, nothing. Credit cards were just due in February from Christmas. And so people haven't got the same amount of cash. They paid the credit cards, they're going to cut back. And I said, next month, I guarantee you're going to see a spike in your business. And I was talking to that same group yesterday and they were like, business is up. And I was like, yeah. But if we blame ourselves when business is down, we're going to get into trouble. If we blame ourselves when business is up in a good way, it's like, oh, it's me. I did it. That's the reason. Sometimes it's just the market. Does that make sense? So we've got to really look at where are we going. And what I've found is real success comes from not reacting. And what I mean by that is I've seen so many people, they have a great month. They have two great months. They have three great months. They have six great months. And they think they've made it. They raise their arms. They think that all their problems have gone away. And then they buy the car. They upgrade the vehicles. They upgrade their house. Or they get a second home. Or they buy a boat. Or they start going big because they believe they've made it. And a year or two later, I see these people become really good salespeople. Because they start selling the car, selling the house, selling the boat, because it was a blip. And they think they've made it. So they reacted in a way that they thought that life is never going to go back to how it was. And they get themselves in trouble. So they overreact when business is good. We've got to look at things over a timeline to see if that's really where it is, or if we just had a bit of a blip and it's going to come back down to that normal setting. The other side of that is when people are struggling, business has gone down. And they're looking at things and they're like, oh, and now I need to cut back. And they're cutting back again and again and again. And they might, you know, get rid of their VA. They get rid of certain staff members and they're going backwards. And that contraction will make their business implode. So what I found is it's a people that can remain in the middle. You know, when we're not reacting emotionally, those are the people that have the biggest success, all right? So step one, we're going to focus on being in a great place with negative emotions. If you want to get out of overwhelm, I guarantee we're going to get into this. You've got a story of why these feelings are bad. And that's not the case. And again, when I'm working one-on-one with people, we dive into what their story is. I'm going to give you a big picture today of some strategies that work for the majority of my clients. It's not going to get into the nitty-gritty like we would on a one-on-one call, but it will give you some ideas. And my goal for you today is see which idea fits you the most and then try it out. Because another thing I've found is people try way too many things and they become a master of none. Choose something to really dive in until it gets into your DNA, all right? So number one is just getting super, super clear on why is this happening? Is this a good thing? Is this just your psychology? Is this just your pre-programming that's holding you back, that's making you feel bad? Step two, I want you to think about a semi-pro athlete. So if your advice, and again, if you're watching on YouTube or anything, stick this in the comments. What would your advice be to a semi-pro athlete that wants to turn pro? You know, if you're watching this on Instagram or anything, stick it in the comments. Like, what would your advice be? There's a semi-pro athlete, their dream is to go pro. And what I've found, and I've asked this with a lot of my clients, is they generally go, hey, get a coach. I'm like, yeah, that'll be a great start. What else? Go to physical therapy. You know, get massage regularly. Get a nutritionalist. Sleep better. And so they go into this like, hey, how do I recover better? And how do I skill up? How do I work on my, you know, maybe it's your core strength or your shoulder stability? How do you get that so you can go to that next level? How do you improve your endurance? How do you improve your strength and flexibility? So they go into that. And let's say it's a football player. I have not had one person say, you know what you should do if you want to go pro? You should play three football games a day. You should do the thing more. You should sleep less. You should not drink enough water. You should not eat as frequently. And then you should overindulge on sugar. Now, that would never be what we would tell a semi-pro athlete. But what I found is when somebody's trying to go to the next level in business or in life, what they do is they start sacrificing themselves. They're not looking at how do I recover better? How do I sleep better? How do I fuel my body better so I can fuel my mind better? How do I lower stress? How do I recover quicker? What they do is they start working more. They start sleeping less. They start eating worse. They start skipping the gym. And if it doesn't work to become a pro athlete, it's never going to work to become a pro business person either. And we sacrifice ourselves so often in the pursuit of trying to go to that next level. And if hard work is the only thing that equals success, the majority of people that are listening to this, I want you to ask yourself, have you worked hard? Are you where you would like to be? And if the answer is, yeah, I've worked hard and I'm not where I want to be, because a lot of that comes down to your psychology on the things. Because it's not about hard work. It's can we handle the emotional roller coaster of growth? Now, business is going to be a roller coaster. I don't care what you do. Business will be a roller coaster. Now, if your emotions match the business, when it's up, your emotions are high, and when it's down, your emotions are low. If your emotions match the roller coaster of business, you're going to be all over the place. We need to be impervious to that roller coaster, and that comes down to our psychology. Psychology will beat strategy every single time, because I've met so many people, and again, a gym example, but you could have the right nutrition plan with the right workout routine, with the right schedule. And you might even do it, but are you doing it to the level you're capable of? Or did you pay the money for the program and not using it? I see that so many times. So I want to let you into that secret. If you've got the right psychology, you'll find a way. If you've got the wrong psychology, it doesn't matter if you've got the perfect plan, you will not get the results because you'll fail to take the appropriate action. And unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, is failure generally has more data points than success. If we just got success, we don't learn so much. But when we fail, we learn a lot more. So if I've got a negative connotation against a failure, that's going to wreck me. So I believe what we get is results. Results I want and results I don't want. But it's the results that I don't want that generally teach me the most. And sometimes it's the bad month or it's the income that drops. You know, if we say, hey, 0 to 10 in income, I'm at a 7 and my income takes a dive to a 3. That might be the best thing that could have ever happened, because now I'm going to look at strategies and my psychology, and that might take me up to an 8, 9, or 10. So I've seen that so many times. Somebody thinks that, you know, they have a health struggle, and that is the thing that then takes them to a whole new level. So don't doubt. So think about it. If you're an athlete, what would you do? If you want to be the best version of you, we start with ourselves. And this is what I call the priority chain. And I looked at my life and I was like, how am I doing? I was like, overwhelmed and burnt out. And I was like, right, what is the first thing that I focus on? The main thing that I focus on? And it was work. I focused on work first. And I said, then what's the second thing I focus on? And I was like, kids. Third thing, wife. Fourth thing, family. You know, and then I was like, and then me, I came last on that priority chain. And I was like, well, that doesn't work, because if it did work, I'd feel great. So I went, right, if I was going to design a priority chain and that was going to optimize everything, what would I do? And I said, I would focus on me first. That's hard for a lot of people because that we feel selfish. And I realized I would drive past the gym to get home after a long day at work to be a good dad and good husband. And I'd fall asleep on the couch. So I was physically there, but I wasn't mentally there. I was, I had no energy. I had no passion. I was just there. Weekends were very much the same. And so I decided I need to focus on myself. So I said, well, what is that? If I was going to be so filled up that I could pour out and not be burnt out by pouring out, what would I do? And I was like, right, well, number one, I would exercise. Now, here's a tip. If you are burnt out, feeling like going to the gym or exercising or moving feels like a chore. So I have a rule. For my first five mountain bike rides is going to suck. Then the next five is going to be okay. And then the next five are going to be good. And then the next five are going to be great. If I'm ever, like, if I've ever had a gap from mountain biking and I'm starting, that's my rule. Because I expect it to be tough. And I expect it not to fill me up so much. But once I get to that fifth, sixth, seventh ride, that's, I start getting energy from it. And same with the gym. Same with, you know, learning guitar, whatever it is. I started going, right, I need gym time. I need adventure and fun. So whether that's off-roading, whether it's mountain biking, whether it's hiking, like these are all things that fill me up. I love playing guitar. This is something that fills me up. If you've had a gap, sitting down and trying to play that instrument again, the goal is to do it without self-judgment. Same with the gym, same with the sport. It's doing it without self-judgment because if a second that self-judgment comes in, it takes us out of action as well. So think about it that way. So you're going to focus on self, and that's my nutrition. That's my fluids. That's what I consume. That's video, music, spirituality, like faith, like all of those things. I looked and said, what makes me thrive? And so that's number one, me. Number two is my wife. Because I joke with my kids. I was like, hey, I love your mom more than you guys because one day you guys all leave me. So if I'm not prioritizing my marriage now, when the kids do leave, it's not going to be a priority then. So I look at ways that I can invest in Janelle, invest in dates, invest in the marriage, and so that she is thriving. Because if I'm thriving and she's thriving, the next level is kids. Are the kids thriving? And if the kids are thriving and Janelle's thriving and I'm thriving, the fourth thing is business. And it's like I am so much more fired up. And I remember I got advice from a very successful businessman once to stop mountain biking because I'm spending about 8 to 12 hours a week mountain biking and driving and cleaning the bike and getting ready. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. So I quit mountain biking. And it was like 6 weeks later, Janelle was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, I don't know. I'm just bored. How's business? Oh, it's horrible. Because I wasn't doing the things that light me up. Started mountain biking again, business went up, much better dad, happier husband, you know, all of these things. So you can pour into yourself. So think about it that way. What is your priority scale right now? What should it be? So again, work on that. And then three areas to focus on. I'm going to whiz through a few of these. If you guys want me to dive into any one of these in more depth, let me know. But the three areas to focus on. Number one, things that you have no control over. That is the election, it's politics, the economy, interest rates. You cannot control any of that, all right? Can't control the weather. No, that's that. I don't care who you are, you're not doing any of that. Second is things that you have somewhat control over. And then the third is things that you have 100% control over. And I've found people that are in overwhelm and burnout, they focus on things they have no control over. People are always asking me questions about stuff that's going on. I've no clue because it doesn't matter to me because it overwhelms me. We have a godlike perception right now of what is happening on planet Earth, but we don't have a godlike ability to do anything about it. So I don't need the awareness because it stresses me out. And I'm going to focus on things that I have somewhat control over. That's my wife, my kids, my clients. I have somewhat control there. But 100% control is my attitude, my psychology, and my actions. That's what I'm going to focus on. And then I focus on the three types of stories. And the three types of stories are soap opera stories. And what are soap operas famous for? Cliffhangers, drama. And I don't care if you don't watch soap operas. I guarantee you're watching a soap opera. If you're looking at the elections or anything, that's just a big soap opera. And you can get so sucked into it and pulled into it. And I'm going to encourage you, anything that makes you feel at a lower level, a lower frequency, lower emotions, stop. If that's the news, stop. If that's social media, stop, whatever it is. But I'd encourage you to write out a list of things that you're participating in that cause energy sucks or energy gains, and then stop it. So soap opera stories, boring stories, and empowering stories. Those are the three types of stories that we've got. And so an example is, if I told you I was going to go to the gym and I woke up and it was so early, and I was like, oh, the birds aren't even awake yet. And then I managed to get myself up and I drove myself to the gym, and I got there and I walk into the changing rooms and there's a naked old guy shaving. And I was like, why is there always a naked old guy shaving? Why don't they shave at home, or at least wear pants? And then I want to train legs. So I go in. Everybody wants to train legs. But I managed to do some leg workout, and then I'm just exhausted for the rest of the day, and I can hardly walk upstairs. And I'm just like, oh, my legs are twitching all day. And I sit down and it's hard to stand up again. That would be a soap opera story. How successful would that person be if that's the story about the gym, or the story about their spouse, or the story about their business, or their kids? And if I tell that story, it's amazing at how many people laugh. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, I've seen those naked old guys. And it's like, yeah, I experienced that in the gym. It builds rapport. So most people get stuck in that story. I want you to make it boring. I get up, go to the gym, go to work. There's no fuss. There's no drama. I want you to make the story boring about what's stopping you from growing your business, that's stopping you from improving your marriage, improving your health, whatever it is. Make the story boring. And then the third one is empowering. I get up and I go to the gym and it's my time to align, get my blood pumping, get my heart racing, get my mind in check. It's my time to focus on me so that I have the confidence and I thrive all day. You're not going to get to the empowering if you're in the drama, the soap opera. So I want you to make the story boring to get where you want to go. And then number six, stop focusing on your kryptonite and start focusing on your superpower. So many people, they're like, oh, I suck at this, and I suck at this, and I suck at this. I'm like, what are you great at? They're not doing what they're great at. This is a great way to look at how you get maybe an assistant, somebody around you with a skill set to offload, because your kryptonite is somebody else's superpower. I suck at math and I suck at spelling. It's not my superpower. It is my kryptonite. So getting people around me, I suck at details. So getting people around me that can handle the details so I can focus on my superpower, because wherever you focus, you're going to get more of it. If you want to focus on the problems, on the stresses, if you're starting talking about that, you're going to get more of it. You're going to see it more. You're going to start seeing it everywhere. You're going to attract other people that see the drama and see the problems at the same level you do, and it will intensify. Are you focused on success, solutions? Are you focused on problems? And it's your problems that are going to give you your greatest growth, but you need to see the positive in your problems. And I'll give you a bonus tip. Old people talk about what they've done. Young people talk about what they're doing. And I started looking at that and I'm like, are you talking about what you've done? Are you talking about the problems you've had? Are you looking in the rearview mirror of life trying to drive forward? Or are you talking about where you're going? Are you talking about why it was hard for your business last year, this year, or hard for in your marriage? Are you talking about why it's going to work? So I know I've thrown a lot at you guys today. And if you need to rewatch this, think about these six, seven different strategies that you could use. Breathe. Have some fun. Number one problem I see in most marriages is they've stopped having fun. So have some fun. We love the adventurechallenge.com. They've got some great scratch-off cards for date nights, bedroom activities. We've got a kids edition. So if you want to check out that, it's theadventurechallenge.com. You can use our little code DEVLIN10. But it's a great thing if you are like, what do I do for a date night? Or what do I do with the kids? I don't know about you guys, but thinking felt like it was overwhelming me at the end of the day. So we just scratch off the cards and do that. And it's been a lot of fun. So think about what you can take from today. Implement one of them. Just one. Simple attracts, complicated makes lazy. Just implement one that you feel like stood out to you the most today. Try it out. See what it's like. And then try another one. You might listen to this again and go, I'm going to try this one as well. But own your stories. Let's make all your drama stories boring. Let's start there. Then let's make them empowering and let's get some traction. Know that if you're overwhelmed, you're on the right path. And I'm going to dive into on another one, the emotional guidance scale that really gives you an indicator of how to work on your emotions a lot more effectively. So I appreciate you guys being with me. Love to hear what you thought of today's episode. And have some fun. Try some new things. And then make business boring and life exciting. Not the other way around. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Until next time. Bye.
Thanks for riding shotgun with us on another episode of Love Plus Money. We trust you're leaving with meaningful insights. If today's episode fueled your hunger for success and fulfillment in all areas of life, don't hold back. Hit that subscribe button, give us your rating, and lay down your thoughts in a review. Your feedback powers our mission to equip high achievers like you with the tools to conquer every challenge. Stay dialed in with us on social at Devlin Worldwide. And guys, keep charging ahead, nurturing your relationships, and never compromising on your most important dedications. Until next time, this is Andrew and Janelle Devlin signing off, reminding you that love plus money can equal the freedom to live your best, most purpose-filled life.
This has been a production from a podcast studio.